to the fact that they're disobedient with regards to the king's laws. That really doesn't really follow. There's no really proof of that, but he's making an assumption that any of someone's often had, that we're bad citizens and we're detrimental to the public
welfare, this is only the few words that he says over here, but in Midrashim it brings a whole long begil about what he says. And it says that nobody was able to speak Lashon Hara like Haman. He was the greatest at speaking Lashon Hara. So let's just go through it. Methuselah or Mephirot?
Scattered
and separate. So what is Methuselah? Methuselah, let's say, means scattered throughout all the nations, right? Mephirot, it means they're separate from the nations, meaning they're not Mis'arim, they don't join, they don't assimilate, they don't mix in with other nations, they're very insular, they keep to themselves. So some of Farshim explained that he's coming with a massive request: destroy an entire, eradicate a whole nation from your empire. I mean, it's almost hard to fathom like what kind of thing that would be. But he's saying he's coming to. Let some of the Farshim explain. He's coming to. There are three reasons why a king would not want to do something like that. Three basic reasons why a king wouldn't want to just destroy a nation. One is because for his own grandeur, he wants to have more subjects. It will be what Chazal called Malchusa Kitiya, a broken empire. He wants his empire to be full. He wants this, like, Baroiva Mahadras Melech, right? You know, the more people, the more...
taxes.
Okay, that's another thing. But first, just the covet, the honor of being a king over more people. The other thing is that more basic, possibly, is that your whole little system. If the king could just one day uproot a whole nation, and destroy them, then everybody's going to be pretty antsy, and there's going to be a rebellion. No one's going to feel safe. No one's going to feel safe. People will rebel. They'll say, oh, yesterday it was the Jews, tomorrow will be somebody else.
It would also be dangerous to endanger the economy.
And the economy. The third thing would be the economy. Economy, you're losing all their taxes, you're losing all the public services that are required by the king.
So therefore, these three things that you said, then why did he take off his ring and say, he forgot about these three things, said, do what you want with them?
Great question. And the answer is because Haman addresses them himself. Haman himself is coming to address these three things. Haman says, Yeshnai am Echa, there is a nation. He doesn't mention the name. They're a nation, they almost don't have a name. Mefuzar o Mefarid Bein Ha'amim. They're scattered throughout the nations. But you're worried about that, you're losing a whole nation. It's not a nation, they're barely called a nation. A lot of people throughout the generations, anti-Semites have claimed that Judaism is not a people, the Jews aren't a people, really. That's really what he's saying. He's saying there are a bunch of, it's like people say about gypsies that they're not a people, right? They're just wanderers around the. So Jews also they're scattered throughout all the nations. They don't have that chashivas, that importance of being a nation. They're separate. Even where they are, they keep to themselves. So no one's going to care if you kill them. It's not like, oh, they're friends with all their neighbors. No. They keep to themselves. They're isolated, they're insular, and so nobody's going to care. No other nations are going to care if you kill them. It's not like they have any friends. The Doseim Shoinos Mikol Am, this is an interesting point. Not just that their religion is different than everybody else's religion. You have 127 Medinos, chances are you're going to have a couple that aren't, not everybody's going to be doing the same thing. It's not a taina that, it's not a, oh, they're different than everybody else. So is everybody. Everybody is different. Everybody is unique, right? So he's saying, no. The same shoynis mikol am, their dust is that they should be different. Their religion says be different. Not just because they're different. Not just different because they were brought. They have their own culture, and they Italy and France. Are they different because they're different because an Italian is different because he grew up in an Italian culture, which has been established from thousands of years, and likewise the Frenchmen. But the Jews, the reason they're different is not just because that was they grew up. The religion tells them be different. Like we know that Haman said, King Achashverosh, if a fly falls into a glass of wine, a Jew will take out the fly and drink it. If you touch the glass of wine, he'll spill it out.
Right.
What they're saying, this is what was so contemptible to Haman, and when he was making the case to Achashverosh, is that they are so b'shita. It's all b'shita.
The double standard.
It's b'shita that they can't stand. They think they look down on all of us, and that they can't stand have anything to do with us. With the other examples he gives. Wow. the Medrash says that that Haman said they spit whenever they see us, because they think we're impure. So basically, everybody hates them. No one's going to care. No one's going to make a rebellion if you do this, because everybody will say good riddance. And the practices means the rules. It means that they don't follow the avodas. There's the king would issue, everybody would have to, let's say, serve time or do some public or national service. They don't do that. They're always saying, this is the Medrash says, they're always saying, Shabbos Hayoyim, Pesach Hayoyim. They're always claiming, no, it's my Sabbath, I can't do it. Oh, no, this is another holiday. We know about that.
It's fascinating. But, it's fascinating because he's giving us, Chazal were very critical because we had assimilated somehow the ways of the nations, and he's giving us credit for things.
Exactly, yes.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yes, it is fascinating.
I don't know who it was, the Brisker Rav that said, if we don't make Kiddush, Goyim will make Kavdala, so he's trying to,
Yes, you're right, that is a very good point.
Yeah, he's giving us credit for things that, we've lost so much of our Yiddishkeit already at that point, and we've already gone into the way of Bodhisattva in a lot of ways, and yet he's giving us credit for things.
It says, well, the last thing is, v'lamelech ein shoy v'lahanicham. It's not worth it for the king to leave him around. In other words, the taxes is the only thing basically that you're losing out. So for the taxes, I'm going to give you money. I'll pay for that. I'll buy them off of you. V'lamelech ein shoy v'lahanicham is saying, it's not worth it for you to keep them around. He doesn't actually say explicitly why he should be killed. So it could be saying because they're being disobedient, like you said, with Tanmel, that they're being disobedient. You have to destroy them. Or it could be he's kind of saying, just hinting, believe me, I know, kind of like a wise person, or prophesying, it's not going to be worth it. It's not going to be your best interest to keep them around. You better get rid of them before anything happens.
Wow. But I think my understanding is that Achashverosh had a hatred for the Jews already. And Haman probably knew that. So even though he's not mentioning the name of the, he's getting him prepared. And then, and then here you just say, hey, give me the money, sure. You get rid of him. He didn't have to offer him money. He was going to say, go ahead and do it. But he was, I'll take the money and go and do what he wants.
Right, that's Chazal given mashal, that a person has a mound in his of dirt in his yard that he wants to get rid of. And there's a guy, there's another guy who has a hole who wants to fill it up. So the guy with the hole says, here, I'll pay you for your mound of dirt. He said, take it for free and gesundheit. Well, I don't need it. So, it's a question if, because Achashverosh ends up saying, Hakesef nasu lach, Kesef is yours. So, this is an interesting point. Does Achashverosh know who he's talking about over here? And what is Achashverosh's real feelings towards the Jews? So the Chazal say, there are Midrashim that say, Gemara, that he hated the Jews more than Haman, and that he knew what was going on over here. This is all speaking in code. I'm not sure exactly why they don't actually mention the name.
He knew what?
He knew that he was talking about the Jews, even though he just said Yeshnai Am Echad. There is an Am. Achashverosh understood that he meant the Jews.
Yeah.
That is a possibility that he did understand. Alternatively, some Befarshim say that Achashverosh actually respected the Jews, and he knew that Mordechai was a Yehudi, and he knew that Mordechai had done something good for him, and he would have not have agreed to it if he had known it was the Jews. And the only reason that he agreed to it was because Haman did not specify. So Haman is coming, making a case. It just shows you how much he trusted Haman. Every word of Haman was God's truth to him. And he basically is saying, Haman, you are telling me that there is a nation that is really, really bad and we can't tolerate to have them around. I give you my ring. I don't want to hear who they are. If I hear who they are, I might change my mind. But I'm a just king. And to show that, I'm giving you the ring and don't even tell me who they are. That's what some of us explain what's going on here.
Wow.
It'll, topic.
But it's fascinating though, it's like, I know again more, who is good, he goes to the Chachamim, he goes to them and asks for advice so many times.
Yeah.
I mean, if he hates him so much, he has some working for him and everything, that question before, but...
Although you find that, Yitzchak Abravanel was a advisor or whatever.
Yeah, but the real Amalek, though, like Hitler, Yimach Shlomo, would never have a Jew in there, even if
he's... No, right. But that's because he held they were racially inferior.
That's Amalek.
I'm not sure if Amalek considers Jews subhuman. I don't know. I mean, it could be they're just, they're anti their belief system. I don't know if it's a racial thing.
It was fascinating because what he does is there's this letter that came out. Like he said, Rabbi Kaplan once met in the shul many years right before Rosh Hashanah. He said, make the mistake. This not the war's not with America, not with anybody else. It's either the Jews or us. You know, we're going to be on the top, or they're going to be on the top.
Who's that?
That's Adolf Hitler. It's got to be one or the other. It can't be. We can't both exist. You know, either.
Yeah. Well, he considered Russia. He considered Russia was the Jewish Bolsheviks. That's why those were the big reasons why he wanted to conquer them.
Most of it capitalist everything. Is that